This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Mixed messages.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. If what's coming down the pike today is any indication of whether the fallout is fading, you better put your glasses back on, and not those rosy-colored glasses. We have earnings, and some of them are not the nicest numbers you've seen. Morgan Stanley lost more than $500 million. That's worse than expected. Boeing, profits down by half. AT&T reported earnings down by 10%. A couple of positive notes this morning. McDonald's posted a 4% increase in profits. And just as expected, Wells Fargo reported today a record profit for the first quarter. So, where's Wall Street? Wall Street's down right now. The Dow is down about 59 points, 0.75%. The NASDAQ down 0.5%. S&P 500 shares about 0.8% down. European shares now lower. Asian markets were mixed. Joining us live on the line now is Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research in New York. Sam, some good earnings, some bad. What's going on here?
Good morning, Steve. Well, I think what we're finding is that instead of everybody being down as we saw in the last couple of quarters, now we're starting to see a little bit of mixture here and there of companies that have been surprising to the upside, certainly better than expected results, AT&T, Wells Fargo, McDonald's, but still an awful lot of disappointments such as with Boeing and Morgan Stanley. And since the banks got us into this mess, that's why I think investors are a bit concerned today, because they're wondering if Morgan Stanley and the other banks might not be able to repeat good results in the future quarters.
You know, Sam, I want to talk a little bit about the broader picture. I alluded to at the top that this market isn't for the faint of heart. What can we expect, do you think, from the rest of the year?
Well, I think for the rest of the year, we're likely to see a bit of a digestion or attempted digestion of the gains that we experienced from March 9th through April 17th. The S&P gained close to 30% in that time frame, and I would not be surprised if we gave back anywhere from 7% to 14%. That would be consistent with history. But I think that by the end of the year, we'll probably close around 850. That's what our Investment Policy Committee is forecasting. So certainly better than where we were at March 9th of this year.
All right, let's take a look at the numbers again. The Dow down about 0.6%, 53 points at this hour. Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research, joining us on the line from New York. Thanks, Sam.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. ProduceMoreConserveMore.com. American Public Media presents the Poetry Radio Project. You can hear conversations with poets about the economy, music, cooking, and more at americanpublicmedia.org/poetry.
Tick-tock goes the clock as Chrysler faces an end-of-the-month government deadline to lock down its alliance with Fiat. Doing so means getting concessions from its union workers and from creditors. But this morning we're hearing the creditors aren't much in the giving mood. Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
The creditors include some of the country's biggest banks, like Citigroup and JP Morgan Chase. They hold $6.9 billion in Chrysler debt. But the government wants them to accept a repayment of around $1 billion. This week, the banks said no. What the banks want is $4.5 billion and a stake in the new Chrysler. John Wolkonowicz of IHS Global Insight says the creditors and the government are engaged in a dance. But he says there's a chance the government could step off the floor. He says the administration may consider Chrysler small enough to let it go.
So if pushed into a game of chicken by the bondholders, the government may simply say, okay, no dice, bankruptcy. I don't think that would happen with General Motors, and they may actually want to throw Chrysler into bankruptcy for political reasons.
He says if Chrysler went under, it would galvanize GM's creditors and the unions to make the concessions needed to keep GM afloat. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
President Obama is going the spending route to try and fix the economy, but his budget plans come under fire, and now he's looking to trim. Commentator Will Wilkinson thinks Mr. Obama needs a machete, not the paring knife he's using to go at it.
President Obama has ordered his cabinet to root out $100 million in unnecessary spending over the next 90 days. That sounds like a lot of money, but $100 million comes to 0.003% of Obama's upcoming $3.5 trillion budget. Some commentators are mocking the feebleness of this effort, but I think more than anything, the fact that so much can amount to so little points to a bigger problem for our democracy. It drives home the fact that $3.5 trillion is so mind-bogglingly vast that voters have little hope of really grasping how much our government is spending. $1 trillion is one with 12 zeros, if that helps. A billion is 1,000 million, and a trillion is 1,000 billion. 3,500 billion. That's our budget. Yeah, I still can't picture it either. George W. Bush was a bigger spender than big spending Lyndon Johnson. Obama makes them both look like Scrooge. The president's budget, titled A New Era of Responsibility, will push up public debt as a share of GDP to levels not seen since World War II. His goal to halve the deficit by 2013 still leaves us with deficits twice as large as Bush's. If we're responsible, we're going to have to pay for all of this sooner or later. But how? $100 million spending cuts every 90 days for 4 years just won't make a dent. So unless Obama summons the will to make truly deep cuts, his only other options to move us back toward the black are big middle-class tax increases, inflation, or some combination of both. But any of these paths could lead to political suicide and damage our already sputtering economy. So I predict that the new era of responsibility will involve more laughable $100 million budget hawk pantomime, which is to say, Obama's going to kick the can down the road and hope for a miracle.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow with the Cato Institute in Washington. Share your thoughts with us and check out our scratch pad with online blogger and host Scott J. Gow inside our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.